Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Robert Venable. We want you to stay tuned. If you will take some time out of your busy day to right here on WMAF to Let's Talk About Jesus. We would love to spend the next 30 minutes around the Word of God with you. And we bring our teachings directly from the Bible, God's book, and we pray for God's help in bringing clarity to the Scripture that we may grasp it and understand it. If you're not a Christian today, and you're kind of inquisitive about why we follow Jesus with our whole heart, while we are counterculture as Christians, hallelujah, then we want you to stay tuned today, and we pray that this broadcast will be a special blessing to you. We enjoy coming to you each Tuesday right here on WMAF, and we ask you many times if you would like to become a media missionary in the sense of making this radio station known to other people in other places, so that this broadcast and others who preach the gospel here may get a wider listening audience to hear it. The Bible said, "How shall they believe upon him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he go except he be sent?" So we're just praying today that that the Word of God may be sent to where He wants it to be. And I believe that you can be part of that process if you would. If you know someone who is connected to the World Wide Web, if they're not in the Madison area where WMAF reaches, if they're connected to the World Wide Web, if they have a computer and they're hooked up to the web, just tell them to go to WMAF.com. Home, and it will take them to the homepage of WMAF. Some good information there, so you can get to see some of the DJs and people that whose voices are so familiar at the station. But beyond that, up in the right hand corner, as you look at your computer screen, there is a place to click where WMAF's fine programming streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you can just be a blessing to someone else by introducing him to this station and to this broadcast and others that lift up and exalt Jesus here. And the fine music here, family-friendly music and good classic, country classic Christian music. If you love the quartets, I got an email from a lady in Jacksonville that said she loves quartet music, and she's got to be listening to WMAF. I don't know anywhere else you can find it. So, and Southern Gospel. So we're just so glad to hear from someone that is listening to WMAF in Jacksonville. And if you're listening today, ma'am, we're so glad that you're tuned back in. Hallelujah. Amen. We have a wonderful study today from the Word of God. We're talking about the love of God, faith's strong foundation. I know the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But as we approach the Word of God to have our faith stimulated, to bring faith alive in our heart, if you please, we need to understand that the Word of God is about a person, not just promises and biblical principles. There is a person revealed in the Word of God. And God's very character and nature is revealed in the Bible. And Jesus literally fleshed out God the Father to us in a way that, in a practical, personal way, so that all of us could understand it. I remember when Ben Kingsley won an Academy Award for his performance of Gandhi, a man that had made his mark in history, a man who through peace sought to see change in his culture and in his nation. Ben Kingsley was honored with an Academy Award for playing the role of Gandhi. And when he received the Academy Award, he said something that I thought was really, really neat. Ben Kingsley said, "You know, Gandhi is the real hero here. He's the one that should be receiving this award. I am an actor. I just fleshed him out." Well, Jesus was not an actor, but he did flesh out God, literally bring him in a practical way to us, this mystical, mighty, majestic God who is spirit, who no man has seen. Literally, Jesus fleshed him out. God became flesh in Jesus Christ. Amen. Emmanuel, God with us, God incarnate, God in flesh. And oh, what a wonderful, wonderful God that He is. All of the mysticism is taken away in the sense that Jesus was the man that God would be if He were human. And He literally became man to show us His character, His nature, His love, and above all, to go to the cross and die in our place. This is a God that loves you today. You say, Pastor, you don't know me and you don't know what I've done. You know, I don't have to know you and I don't need to know what you've done to be able to biblically declare God loves you. Amen. The Bible said that the love of God was commended to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I'm telling you today, amen, Jesus died for the ungodly. He didn't come for all the people that thought of themselves good enough. In fact, there's none good enough, none righteous, no, not one. Every one of us need to be forgiven, and every one of us need to be saved. And Jesus is such a wonderful Savior. Well, we want to get into our study today, our text in this second installment of the Love of God, Faith's Strong Foundation, is found in Psalm 36 and verse 7. And it says, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." The Amplified, I still love the Amplified. It says, "How precious is your steadfast love." And one paraphrase reads, We are eager to run under your wings. Amen. We talked about the tenderness of God's love. Amen. Last week, and today we're going to talk about His great love causing Him to have a tenacious love toward you and toward me. It is unfailing love. Love that won't let you go. Amen. God will continue to reach out to this fallen world, no matter how sinful it becomes, because of His tenacious love. Love that won't let go. You will have to reject that love to avoid it. Amen. Because He will not stop loving you. Amen. And if you're lost today, it won't be because God didn't love you and doesn't love you. It's because you didn't receive love's greatest gift, and that is salvation through Jesus Christ. I've often stated it's not your grip on God that gives such courage and strength, but rather His grip on you when you put your trust in Him. We used to sing that great old hymn, "Life is filled with swift transition, naught of this old world can stand. Put your trust in things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand." Amen. I love the fact that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the New Testament declares. And in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, it says that God, our God, is the Lord God of Israel, and He changes not. Let me read to you from John's Gospel about this tenacious love and God's grip on you when you put your trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. John 10, verse 27 through 30. "My sheep," Jesus said, "hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Praise the Lord. I want you to know when you trust Christ as your Savior, amen, God puts a strong hand on your life and claim on your soul. Praise the Lord. And if you don't turn away from Him, the Bible absolutely guarantees God will never turn away from you. He will not lose His grip on you. I remember my son and I used to go when he was very, very young, my youngest son, Matthew, and we used to go down to Tampa Bay and just spend some time together, you know, on the water, and maybe take a picnic when you could do that here in Tampa when the traffic wasn't so bad years and years ago. And he loved to walk near the bridge on the seawall and look down into the water. And I remember he was about 5 years old, and he loved to just get as close as he could, but boy, he had a grip on my hand until his little hands were just, almost turning white and numb, cutting off the circulation from holding my hand so tight. And I remember the day that we did the same thing. He was holding my hand, but he began to actually subconsciously almost understand that it wasn't his grip on Daddy's hand that was keeping him from falling in the water off that seawall. It was my grip on his hand. And he seemed to begin to really enjoy it much more because he knew that my grip on him, because of my love for him, would not let him fall. Hallelujah. And I believe there's a place in our Christian life when we mature and we become aware that it's not our grip on God that is our real assurance and confidence. It is His grip on us. And I love His mighty hand that holds me. The Bible said there's nobody that can pluck me out of His hand. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to be a Christian, and I'm so glad to be a Christian who is kept by the power of God. And hallelujah. I'm so glad for His keeping power because of His unfailing love today. That's why the foundation for all of our Christian life is understanding, appreciating, and appropriating the love of God. Ah, friend, there is no greater foundation to build your life on than God's great love for you, His tender love for you, and His tenacious love for you. The Apostle Paul, who sustained great faith in the face of tremendous trials and tests, revealed the source of his unshaken faith and his confidence. Listen to it in Romans 8:35 through 39. He said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I love the paraphrase. It says, "None of this phases us because Jesus loves us." I'm absolutely convinced, he said, that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Oh, friend, I want you to know today that faith does come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But initially, it is not the promises nor the biblical principles that we get a hold of. They're secondary. The primary thing that we see in the Word of God is the God of the Word. We begin to understand His great character, and we begin to see His great love for us. And because of His great love for us, amen, and His tenderness of it, the tenaciousness of it, our God has a tremendous capacity to forgive us. I've mentioned this many times in my preaching and teaching in our prayer group. There is a cemetery in New England where there is a gravestone and the name of the person when they were born and died. That information is on it. But in huge letters underneath that information, graven into the granite, is simply the word forgiven. Ah, friend, God loves to forgive. Hallelujah. He has made a way that every sin that we ever had can be forgiven. Sounds too good to be true, but that's the nature of grace. Amen. And that is the nature of His mercy. Let me read from Psalm 51. And it is written to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had sinned with Bathsheba. It's when he was convicted of his great sin. In Psalm 51 in verse 1, it said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness." There's that word again, hasid, in the Hebrew. It's talking about the tremendous, tenacious, tender love of God. "According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." Praise the Lord. Amen. Listen, God will forgive if we will repent. God has such capacity to forgive. You say, "Pastor, I have sinned. You just don't understand what I've done." It's not about what you've done. It's about what He's done in order to forgive you. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that includes you today, if you don't know Him as your Savior, and that certainly includes you today if you know Him as your Savior. Amen. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for me. And He did it to save us, but also to show us how much God loves us." Hallelujah. Listen to this out of Psalm 130, verse 3 and verse 4. It said, "If thou shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." This really helps me understand the fear of the Lord, because the actual meaning of the fear of the Lord, as it's represented in Scripture, is deep reverence with awe and affection. It's not the dread of God, although it's very clear if we face Him as our judge, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But we shouldn't fear His intents toward our life. He wants to save us. We shouldn't dread Him. We should run to Him, not from Him, when we sin. And there's forgiveness with Him. One of the things that makes us stand in awe of Him while reverencing Him is that God has this tremendous capacity to forgive. Incredible grace. Incredible mercy. This is why I preach repentance so strongly, for it's the pathway to God's forgiveness and restoration. It's not to condemn. It's meant to convict us. God is so willing to forgive, we should be willing to repent. Listen to what the Amplified says of this psalm. "If you, Lord, should keep an account and treat us according to our sins, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, just what man needs, that you may be reverently feared and worshipped." Ah, friend of mine, God is so willing to forgive. You know what it said in the New Testament in 1 John? It said, "If we say we have no sin, we lie and do not the truth. But if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the pattern prayer in the New Testament, amen, Jesus taught us to pray this way, Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Repentance and confession of sins is not a humiliating, self-degrading experience. It's not a guilt trip. It's an escape from guilt and an open door from the prison of fear and depression. It's an opportunity to be set free from sin's power and consequence. It's an occasion for joy and celebration, power and peace. There's a scripture you may have heard if you're a Christian. A lot of times I'd like to put it in the context that it is written. It's found in the Old Testament in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. You've heard the scripture out of context. I'd like to kind of put it in context today. And the scripture is so familiar. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The context of this is when, after all those years of captivity, Israel has returned and their cities and city walls have been burned and broken. Nehemiah's mission was to go and rebuild those cities and those walls and rebuild the faith in the heart of God's people. And Ezra the high priest stood at a pulpit of wood, the first mention of a pulpit in Nehemiah chapter 8, and he read from the book of the law. And as he read from the book of the law, the priest walked among the people and gave them the sense of it so they could understand it. And they begin to weep, all the people begin to weep, because as they heard the word of God read, they saw how far they had drifted away from it, and their hearts were broken. And in their brokenness, they begin to just weep. They felt so terrible and so bad, but in that brokenness, that weeping, that repentance that was taking place in their hearts, and God saw it. And he instructed, amen, Nehemiah to say, don't just keep weeping. Amen. This is an occasion for great joy. This repentance and brokenness is an occasion for great joy. Go and eat the fat. Drink the sweet. This calls for a celebration. Hallelujah. Amen. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. So in this context, it's in that repentance and returning to God, that renewing of a broken fellowship that brings the great joy. Our repentance brings consummation to the love of God that is calling us to fellowship. You know, when we open the door to Jesus, He wants to fellowship us. He wants there to be a mutual joy, that God may joy in His people and in us, and that we may joy in our God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the joy of that fellowship relationship becomes our strength. Praise the Lord. This is about repentance and restoration of a fellowship relationship with God. Hallelujah. Listen, it's really a table for two. It's an intimate thing. Jesus said to the church of Laodicea, who had drifted away from a real relationship with God and become worldly, and he said unto them, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, Revelation chapter 3, if any man open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and him with me. See, God is not just calling you to escape hell and obtain heaven. God is calling you to a relationship with Him here and now that will last forever in heaven. Praise the Lord. The Bible actually said that Jesus, the just, suffered for the unjust that He might bring us to God. See, the salvation in the sense of going to heaven, escaping damnation, is secondary. It takes place after the primary reason for Jesus going to the cross takes place. And that is that broken relationship with God through sin has been restored. The Bible speaks of reconciliation, to wit, God was in Jesus Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, breaking down that enmity between us and God. The Old Testament says, "My hand is not short that it cannot save, my ears not heavy that it cannot hear, but your sins have separated between you and your God." Ah, friend of mine, when that sin issue is settled, when you have confessed your sins and the blood of Jesus is applied to your life spiritually, I want you to know that relationship with God that's been broken because of our sinfulness is restored and fellowship is restored. Hallelujah. Amen. And the love of God, the Scripture declares, then is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. One of the mighty works of the Holy Ghost after convicting us of sin and bringing us to Jesus is to shed the love of God in our hearts. So down deep within the inner core of our innermost being, we feel loved of God. Friend, that's a rush. There's nothing like it in all of the world. Paul said, there's nothing that can separate me from it. Nothing can ever happen in this fallen world to separate me from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Someone said, there's never been a great revival that was not marked by joyous singing. Why? Because repentance brings restoration, and restoration brings joy. And joy is expressed in laughter and song. I'm going to read from the New International, Psalm 126. This is when God brought them back. This is still in the context of Nehemiah chapter 8, out of Babylonian captivity, back into their land to rebuild their cities. Oh, and reestablish their covenant walk with God. Hallelujah. Listen, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. I want to stop here just a moment in these closing minutes and say that Peter was in prison, held over to be killed or punished and killed. But that night an angel came and smote him on the thigh and woke him up, and he thought he was dreaming until the angel took him outside the prison, and he saw he was genuinely free, and he said, "Boy, this is no dream. This is really happening to me." When God does the supernatural, sometimes it feels like we're just dreaming, but it is reality. When God, the Lord, brought back the captive to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. They couldn't believe it. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with joy and songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us." We are filled with joy. Praise the Lord. The Bible speaks of the joy of the Lord being your strength today if you're a Christian. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He wants you to know the joy of sins forgiven today. Would you pray to Him today? Would you repent of your sins? Has your heart been pricked during this broadcast, knowing that God loves you so deeply, so desperately, that He would send His Son to die for you? Would you confess your sins? He knows them already, and He still loves you. He wants to forgive you. Would you confess your sins, repent of them, receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, receive the gift of righteousness, the gift of salvation, the gift of the love of God? Oh, He loves you today. And if you're a Christian today, would you stand in your standing? You're forgiven. Don't ever look back. Forget the things that are behind and reach forth to the things that are before. For the joy of the Lord is your strength today. Oh, friend, we love you so much. I pray that you will come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.